Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Some familiar verses to most of us. Paul wrote to his son of the gospel, Timothy, and he said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." I want to preach tonight about some things to fight for, some things to finish, and some things to keep. Some things to fight for, some things to finish, and some things to keep. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Paul is writing to Timothy from Rome. He is in a dark, damp, cold prison cell. I have read that the Mamertine prison averages about 52 degrees year-round. There's a hole that goes into it, and then there's a hole that goes out of it that opens up into the river. And normally, whenever a person, if they die in prison, they just toss them into the river and save the burial in time for the state. So Paul was in a very serious and sad and cold place. But in that place, his mind is still on Jesus Christ. I love this man. Amen. He had an undefeatable spirit. It did not matter where Paul was, what condition he was in, his mind was stayed on the Lord. Amen. He saw himself always as an overcomer. And this was not going to be any different. So he's writing to Timothy, and first of all, his mind is on the gospel. He's telling Timothy, "Son, we've still got a job to do." And his primary concern is that Jesus Christ is preached in all the world. Hallelujah. That's what Paul's focus is. And so I read by introduction that fifth verse when he's talking to Timothy, and he says, "But watch in all things." He's saying, Timothy, you got to watch out. You got to be careful. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. You got to keep the main thing, the main thing. You can't allow yourself to get distracted, because there's a lot of distractions in the world, and there's a lot of exits on the highway, but you got to keep on going, and you got to keep your mind made up and your heart fixed, son. Don't let anything draw you aside. Then he said, not only do you have to stay focused, he said, you're going to have to endure some afflictions. You're going to get your feelings hurt. Somebody's going to rub you the wrong way. They might slap you around a little bit. They might put the lash to your back. They may put you in a prison cell. They may threaten you with all of your very life. He said, but you endure those things. God, give Christians in 2011 some backbone. I get weary with wimpy Christians. Have a little thing that comes along, you want to quit. You want to give up. Hey, endure afflictions. a daily basis. When you met Jesus and He gave you the Holy Ghost, you told Him that you were going to serve Him. Did you not? Did you not? Didn't you tell Jesus, if you'll give me the Holy Ghost, I'll serve you, I'll live for you, I'll follow you, I'll do anything for you? Endure afflictions. Make up your mind. Hey, you're serving Jesus Christ. You're not serving a preacher. You're not serving a local church. You're not serving an organization. You're serving the King of Kings. You're serving the Lord of Lords. Don't let anybody get between you and God. I hear people say, oh, but preacher, there's hypocrites in the church. If you let a hypocrite get between you and God, he's closer to God than you are. Amen. Paul's writing to Timothy. He said, son, you endure affliction. Don't you let anything stop you. Don't let anything get in your way. You've got to have a made-up mind. He said, do the work of an evangelist. That means preach the gospel. And we've got to keep preaching the gospel primarily. It's okay to preach some other stuff now and then. That's necessary. But he said, number one, preach the gospel. The good news. Keep telling people that Jesus saves. Keep telling people that He can get them out of their sin. Keep telling people that there's hope in Jesus Christ. Keep telling people they can be delivered. Keep letting the world know there's a peace that passes understanding. And there is an unspeakable joy in the Holy Ghost. Don't let anybody sidetrack you. You keep preaching that, son. And he said, make full proof of your ministry. He said, everything you can imagine to do, you do it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I like folks that attempt great things. Somebody said the failure is at least a sign that somebody tried to do something. At least they tried to do something. If you never try to do anything, no, you'll never fail, but you will be a failure. Simply because you never tried anything. Amen. Attempt to do great things for God. Make full proof of your ministry. Amen. Praise God. Young people, seek excellence in your life. Amen. Don't be satisfied with the status quo, what everybody else is doing. Set your goals higher. Amen. Praise God. Somebody said, I don't know about all these standards. Let me tell you about standards. Set yours higher. Not lower, higher. Don't be satisfied with the minimum. I'm going to do the maximum because it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about the youth group. It's not about the youth leader. It's not about the pastor. It's about Jesus. Amen. So Paul, he's telling Timothy, he said, son, these are some of the last words I'm going to write. Just want you to know. And then he starts beginning to get a little melancholy here. He said, I am now ready to be offered. Now, that word offered there in the Greek comes from an offering that was poured out to God. He said, I'm ready, speaking of death, he said, I'm ready to be poured out to God. Just take everything that I am and pour me out. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready. Everybody say, I'm ready. You see, he wasn't dreading it. He wasn't fearful about it. He wasn't biting his fingernails in those mean old Romans. They're going to come chop my head off in a day or two. Amen. He wasn't worried about that. He didn't view death as something the Romans did. He looked at himself as, I am offering my life to God. He didn't see himself as being persecuted. He didn't talk about himself as a martyr. He said, I'm going to offer it. I'm going to lay it out there. I'm going to pour myself out. What a way to look at dying. He said, it's still not about Rome, and it's not about Paul. It's all about Jesus. And then he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Amen. That's talking about changing gears. It's a word that they used when the oxen came in from the field and they lifted the old yoke off of his back. Amen. And his old muscles began to twitch and began to relax a little bit. He said, "Whoop! That feels good." Amen. That means my labor's over. I've been pulling a plow all day long. I've been working all day long. I've been under the load all day long. But now it's departure time. That's what Paul was saying. He said, my departure's at hand. No more labors. Amen. No more weariness. No more fears. No more fastings. No more longings. No more hunger. No more suffering. No more afflictions. No more sickness. No more problems. No more troubles. My departure's at hand. I'm getting ready to leave this world. He said, I'm like a tent. Paul was a tent maker, made tents for a living. And he said, I'm getting ready to pull up the stakes. Amen. I've been here long enough. I don't believe it was written back then, but he might have been singing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, cause my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You see, he had his mind made up. I'm going somewhere. Departure. Departure. He did a lot of traveling. It was like the old ship when they untied the moorings. They loosened the ropes. And they lifted the anchor. And they're getting ready to set sail. Paul said, I'm getting ready to get out of here, son. I'm getting ready to leave. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Amen. Just see Paul's attitude here. He's not discouraged, down in the dumps. Amen. Ready to throw in the towel. His feelings are hurt. Amen. There's not anybody to encourage him. Amen. He's been in that old lonely, cold prison cell. And there he is in that condition. Amen. But he's still got his mind on heaven. He said, I'm getting ready to depart. Amen. And then he tells us about this. And he said, now Timothy, he said, there's some things to fight for. And there are some things to finish. And there are some things that you need to keep. Because he said, I have fought a good fight. Amen. But say fight. Amen. If you're going to make it as a Christian, you've got to have some fight in you. Amen. Praise God. There was a dog fight one time, and the little dog beat up the big dog. And somebody said, how'd that happen? And the wise man said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but it's the size of the fight in the dog. The little dog, hey, he was fighting for life. He said, if I don't whip him in a hurry, I'm going to be lunch. So he had inspiration. He had motivation. If you're going to make it as a Christian, there's some things that you're going to have to fight for. It's Somebody said, I didn't think Christians are supposed to fight. You heard wrong. There are some reasons to fight, and there are some things to fight for, and there are some things to fight against. But the apostle made it real clear. He said, for we wrestle or fight not against flesh and blood. So you don't fight with people. That's not who you're fighting. This is a spiritual battle. He said, we're not fighting against people. He said, but not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, that's our enemy. There are some things, I can think of three things that if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to fight against. Everybody knows about the devil. He gets blamed for everything. The Bible said, for our adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you, the devil's not hot stuff. That cute little comic book character with a little fork in his tail and his little pitchfork and his cute little annex. No, there's an enemy of your soul, and he seeks your destruction, and he wants to destroy you and your innocence and take everything that's good and pure in your life and destroy it. He seeks to mar the image of God that he sees in us. We've got an enemy out there. And you're going to fight him. Brother Grisham, how am I going to fight him? Number one, you're going to fight him with the word of the Lord. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. Amen. That's it. You resist him. You take a stand. Amen. And you keep standing. Amen. And you don't give ground. He pushes and you push back. And the Bible said that he'll flee from you. Amen. Now let me back up a little bit, because we got to cover the most important part of that verse. The most important part of that verse is the part you don't hear most of the time. The Bible said, submit yourself unto the Lord. That's the first thing you got to do. And after you have submitted yourself to the Lord and to His will and to His way, then you'll have the strength to resist the devil. But until you submit to God, you'll just be like putty in His hands. But once you submit yourself to God and you clothe yourself with the strength and the armament of the Spirit, then the devil is no match for you. And so you resist the devil. We've got to fight him. And then we've got to fight the world. And what do I mean by the world? There is a system that is anti-Christ. It is against Christ. It has a way of glorifying flesh and humanity. And it has a way of deifying humanity. Amen. The world has a way of thinking that is not a Christian way of thinking. The world has a way of speaking that is not a Christian way of speaking. The world has a way of acting that is not a Christian way of acting. And that is against Jesus Christ. And so we have to fight against that. I have to fight against worldly thinking, because I cannot allow myself to think like the world thinks. Yes, I have to fight against the way the world talks. Yes, amen, because the world doesn't talk like a Christian should talk. And the world does not act like a Christian should act. So you see, I have to fight against those things. One of the things that we battle, whatever your age is a thing we call peer pressure. It is the pressure to conform to what everybody else is doing. Everybody's doing it. Oh, they're not. I'm not. You're not. You see, you swim against the stream. You stand when others fall. You make up your mind, I'm not going to think like that, I'm not going to talk like that, and I'm not going to act like that. Amen. And their standard is not my standard. I'm not going to be like them. You see, you're going to have to fight against that. And then, I think the hardest of all three enemies is you got to fight against the flesh. This handsome character that you see in the mirror every morning. Huh? You got to fight against that little rascal. Uh-huh. Because you're going to battle him because he doesn't like to be disciplined. Amen. The Bible talks about the spirit wars against the flesh. We got this battle. You see, my flesh doesn't want to do the things that my spirit tells me that I need to do. My flesh does not like to pray. My flesh does not like to worship. My flesh does not like to go to church. It would rather be doing something else. My flesh doesn't like to sit and listen to a preacher. Amen. My flesh doesn't like to read the Bible. It would rather be reading something else. Amen. It would rather be watching something else. It would rather be doing something else. Amen. But if I'm going to make it, you see, Paul said, I keep under my body. In other words, he said, I keep my body under subjection to my spirit. As a matter of fact, he said it this way. He said, I mortify my members. In other words, he said, I put them to death. I say, fingers, you're going to obey today. And you're going to do what I tell you to do. And you're not going to touch the unclean things. I have to say, mouth, I'm in control here. And you're going to have to watch what you say. Amen. You're going to have to hold your peace. Amen. And you're going to have to talk right today. Listen to me, ears. You're going to be careful what you listen to. You're going to be careful what you let into my mind. Amen. And you've got to talk to your eyes. And you've got to say, listen to me, eyeballs. You're going to be careful what you look at today. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen. Listen to me, feet. You're going to be careful where you walk today. You're not going to go where you want to go, but you're going to go where I tell you to go. You've got to talk to your body. Amen. You've got to fight your flesh. Oh, yes, you do. Amen. Praise God. You've got to fight your flesh. If you don't, it'll get the best of you. Amen. But we not only fight against things, we also have to fight for some things. Amen. If you don't have anything in your life worth fighting for, I really feel sorry for you. I've got some stuff worth fighting for. My marriage is worth fighting for. My little wife is worth fighting for. My sweet daughter is worth fighting for. My family is worth fighting for. Amen. Praise God. And you need to fight that battle. You need to get in prayer somewhere and you start talking to God and pleading the blood and telling the world and telling the devil, you can't have my family. You can't have my daughter. You can't have my son. You can't have my husband. You can't have my wife. And you've got to fight a battle. And you've got to stand and take a stand and say, I'm going to fight because this is something worth fighting for. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me tell you something else that's worth fighting for. Unity of the Spirit's worth fighting for. Amen. The Bible said God hates those that cause division. Uh-huh. You want God to hate you? You start trying to stir stuff up and cause division in God's body and sow division in God's church and you'll get on the wrong side of the wrath of God. Because the Bible said that we are to fight for, we are to preserve, we are to pursue the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We fight for that. That's worth fighting for. Amen. Praise God. So somebody starts running stuff down and talking about how bad things are and how horrible things are. You just let them know real quick. You know, I really don't have time to listen to that. I don't believe a word you're saying. Amen. When I go to church, I feel the Spirit of God. I feel the peace of the Lord. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. I don't feel a lot of friction. I don't feel a lot of trouble. Amen. There's not a whole lot of strife and struggle going on. There's not a lot of jealousies and a lot of garbage going on. I just feel the Holy Ghost. I just feel Jesus. Amen. You just fight for the unity. Amen. The Bible says mark them. Put a big old X on them. Now you don't have to get your marker out and do that. But in your mind, a little warning flag needs to go up. And you mark somebody's mouth, say, that's one I don't want to listen to right there. Amen. I'll pray for you. Amen. But I won't listen to you. Because I'm going to fight for unity. Amen. We have to fight for the purity of the doctrine of the church. Yes, we do. Amen. People come in and they start teaching false doctrines. You got to take a stand against that. Amen. I've heard people say, until I'm sick of it, doctrine divides the church. No. You know what doctrine is? Teaching. And the Bible says they, talking about the first church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know what the apostles taught? Go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That's what they taught. You know where all this division came in and all of these separations and false doctrines? Because people got away from the apostles' doctrine. They started teaching for the commandments of God, the commandments of men. Amen. Now, I'll read commentaries, but I'm real careful what I believe when I read a commentary. And I'll read books, Christian books, about what people think about God and various subjects. Amen. But I'm real careful what I adopt. There's a little spirit inside of me called the Spirit of Truth. And when I read something, it either gets excited or it gets upset. And if it gets upset, I say, don't believe that. He may have more degrees than a thermometer behind his name, but I don't care. If he says something that's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. Praise God. So we've got to fight for the preservation of truth in the church. Amen. Praise God. And you have got to fight for your ministry. Everybody here, you have a ministry. And you're going to fight for it. Because I promise you, the devil will do everything he can to keep you from doing what God has told you to do. Some people are miserable just because they're not doing what God told them to do. Why don't you just go ahead and give in, quit being miserable? Why live your life in misery when you can live your life in joy? Amen. Amen. Quit fighting the Holy Ghost. You know He's going to win. Nobody's ever beat God yet. And they're not going to. Praise the Lord. The only one ever won a wrestling match with God is because He wanted him to. Amen. Praise God. And I guarantee you, he's a different man when he got through wrestling with God. We got to fight for souls. Amen. We got to fight for souls. Amen. Don't let anything get in the way of souls. Amen. Don't try to get between me and a soul, folks. Amen. I'll run over you. Amen. Brother Grissom, they're not the right color. Oh, yes, they are. The soul doesn't have a color.
ever soul is the same. Every soul was worth dying for. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary, it was for every race. It was for every language. It was for every color. It was for every individual. Amen. Don't you allow the devil to come. You fight for souls. Amen. Praise God. Paul did that. Paul went to a meeting one time. And Peter had been talking to Gentiles. But all of a sudden some Jews walked in. And he got away from the Gentiles and ran over to the Jews and quit talking to the Gentiles. And Paul said, "All right, Peter, hypocrite." He did. The Bible said he stood right there and dressed him down in front of everybody. Because, you see, he was interfering with souls. There were Jews that tried to keep Gentiles out of the church. And Paul stepped in and said, "That's not happening." Oh, no. Praise God. I had some people one time. When we were having a revival, we were having a revival. God was saving people right and left. We were baptizing people, folks getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. And somebody said, "Brother Grissom, when's God going to save some white people?" I said, "I don't care what color they are. I'm not choosing this church. It's not my church. It's God's church. And whom God chooses and whom God sends, that's who will receive." You got to fight for souls. Amen. There's some things you got to fight for. There's some things you got to finish. Amen. You got some things you got to finish. Paul said, "I finished my course." Amen. You know, it's not how you start a race that matters as much as how you finish a race. I've told you about my friend Joe. When I was in junior high school, we were running track. And man, old Joe, he had legs nearly as long as I am. He had the longest legs. Every time he took a step, it was like two of mine. Man, he could evermore take a step. And we were running. And we were running a relay. And we had passed off the baton. And we were doing pretty good. Amen. And Joe, he was the last man. We handed the baton to Joe, and man, he took off. Them old long legs, they were stretching out there. He was eating it up. He was leaving everybody in the dust. And he came around the last turn, getting ready to head home, and he just walked off the track. I thought my coach was going to have an absolute heart attack. You talk about red and angry. He went out there. He was blowing his top. He said, "Joe, what in the world are you doing?" Joe said, "I'm tired." Joe didn't run any more races. That was it. Amen. But you know what? I've met some Christians just as bad. I met some Christians. They met a little opposition. They run into some little trouble. I said, "I'm so tired." And they just quit. Walked off the track. Amen. Hey, you got to finish. You got to finish. You can't stop. One of the great decisive battles of history was the Battle of Marathon. The Greeks were fighting against a much greater and more powerful enemy, the Persians. And they battled and they battled and they battled and they battled. Until finally, the Greeks won. And there was a soldier from the Greek army, after battling for days, he started out running. And he ran through the day and he ran through the night. And he ran all the way to the city of Athens. And he ran to the magistrates. And gasping for breath, he said, "Rejoice. We have conquered." And then he fell dead with exhaustion. But he was a man that finished his race. He finished His race. He finished His race. He finished His course. He stayed the distance. And in honor to that, people run marathons today. I say people, not me. People. I'm in a different race. Amen. I've been in it now for over 40 years. And by the grace of God, I'm going to stay in it. Amen. I told you one dear sister, I hadn't been in the church but maybe 2 or 3 years, and a little sister came up in church after service one day, and she said, "Johnny," she said, "I didn't think you'd make it this long." Amen. What an encouragement. You know what? I'm still running. I'm still running. Praise God. I've had the privilege to run in about 15 different nations, but I'm still running. Amen. Hey, when I was a young man, I ran. When I was a young person, a teenager, I ran. When I was in high school, I ran. When I was in college, I ran. When I got out of college, I ran. When I worked a secular job, I ran. When I was a pastor in a church, I ran. When I was a missionary, I ran. When I was a teacher, I ran. I'm still running. Hey, you gotta finish. You gotta finish. You gotta finish. Amen. Paul said, "Finish my course." Amen. The most important thing is to finish. Amen. One of my favorite stories about finishing is Special Olympics. Those Special Olympics really are special. And here are these handicapped children with their own Olympics. And they were running the relay. And they were all running. All running. And they were nearing the finish line. Some of them were almost there. Some had already crossed. And suddenly there was a cry. One of the runners hit the harsh cinders of the track and fell down and scratched their leg, injured themselves, and began to cry out in pain. And those that were running still turned around. Those that had finished the race came back, and they lifted up the one that was fallen, and they carried and they helped them go all the way across the finish line. Now that's finishing well. Amen. You don't leave your brothers and sisters behind. If there's anything you can do to help them, you can help them to finish the race also. This is not about who finishes first. It's just about finishing. And if you finish alone, that's not necessarily a good thing. It's better if you finished in a great host. Praise God. Bring everybody you can with you. Help everybody to finish that you possibly can. Amen. And then the apostle said, you got to keep some things. You know, one of the great secrets of life is knowing what to keep and what to get rid of. Anybody got a storage building? Anybody moved lately? I was driving down to South Texas the other day, and I was thinking about my first trip down there. We left Athens, Texas to go to Raymondville. We had a 5x8 U-Haul trailer. 5x8, smallest one you can get. It had plenty of room. It had a little vinyl sofa and a vinyl chair and footstool. It had a bed, a full size bed, and it had a rocking chair. Simple. And a few boxes. It didn't take long to move in. Amen. But you know what happened when I left Raymondville? We had a garage sale. And we sold stuff. Amen. And we packed stuff in a 26-foot truck. Left stuff, gave stuff away. Amen. The key to life is knowing what to keep, what to get rid of. And when I got home from Columbia, I started going through that stuff we kept, and I think, why in the world did I keep this? Some of the stuff that seemed important, I thought, why in the world did I keep this? Amen. You got to know what to keep and what to let go of. Amen. And in order to do that, you have to establish values in your life. What's value? What really matters to me? Amen. Some things you've got to keep in life. Amen. And Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Jesus told somebody, He said, it's not what you put inside your body that contaminates you. It's what comes out of it. It's what comes out of your mouth. For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And sooner or later, whatever's in your heart will come out of your mouth. Amen. So you've got to keep your heart. And then the Bible says that you've got to keep yourselves in the love of God. How do you do that? You fall in love with Him. And you do what pleases Him. Amen. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. You love Him. You don't let any other love get in your heart. You don't let the love of the world get in your heart. Amen. You know what John said? He said, if we have the love of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. One of the things that I have noticed in my life is people that just cannot seem to live for God is people that love the world. They want to love God. They want to serve God. But they just love the world more. Isn't that what Paul said about his friend Demas? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There was just something out there that he loved more than he loved God. So Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You got to keep falling in love with Jesus every day. Fall in love with Jesus every day. Fight against the world every day. Fight against the devil every day. Fight against the flesh every day. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen. And then he said, you got to keep the faith. Amen. Keep it. Now, when he uses the word faith here, he's not talking about that mechanism that causes you to receive things from God as much as he's talking about your body of beliefs and truth. He said, those things that you have received from God and those biblical beliefs, he said, that's your faith, and you keep that. And you don't let anybody take it away from you. Don't let any professor make a monkey out of you. Amen. You know, that's what they teach in evolution. At one time we were monkeys. You're not going to make one out of me. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe it from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I don't believe you can mix the two. I've heard people say, oh, God just used evolution and creation. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. Amen. He created it. Amen. He didn't create an explosion. And out of that explosion, all this stuff started crawling out of the slime and growing tails and losing tails and growing legs and growing arms and growing teeth and everything. You talk about a fantasy. Amen. But you know, I can go one better than that. How about this? How about people can look at a bone or a scratch on a rock and they can draw the picture of the dinosaur that made it? Now, how do they come up with that? Right out of their little imagination. That's where they come up with that. But they want you to believe it's science. It's not science. It's fantasy. Hello? Don't you be afraid to tell them it's fantasy. Because it is. Amen. Some students go off to college and they try to make you feel stupid because you believe in creation. You don't believe in the evolutionary process. Well, the reason I don't believe it is because I've never seen any evidence of it. It does not exist. It has never existed. It is a fabrication of the minds of men that want to do away with the knowledge of God. That's it. It's worldliness. Amen. Praise God. Well, Brother Grissom, you're not smart enough. I hope I never get that smart. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to get that smart. Praise God. I don't think it's smart at all. So you got to keep the faith. And here's the thing. And I'm closing in the next 20 or 30 minutes. I'm going to do a Brother Hart and pull my coat off. And sister, you can come play, but that won't stop me. Isn't this fun? We have fun in church. Amen. Praise God. But here's the thing. There are some things that when you keep them, they will keep you. In the keeping, you are kept. Faith is one of those things. You keep the faith, and the faith will keep you. You fight for the faith, and the faith will fight for you. Your redemption, your salvation, it's in the things that you hold on to. It's the things that you never allow to go away, and you cling to them for very life's sake. Jesus said in John 17:12, He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost. Amen. He kept those that were given to Him. And you know what? He's still keeping. Didn't He say it? He said, no man can pluck you from My Father's hand. Amen. You're kept if you want to be kept. Amen. God protects us if we want to be protected. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jude 24, He said, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Amen. You keep the faith, faith keeps you. Amen. You keep with God, God keeps you. You keep in the love of God keeps you. That's just the way it is, folks. We're kept by keeping. Very careful, very important that we do that. Amen. Keeping. Keeping. The word has to do with being very, very... like a centennial, stands and watches over, kept. Amen. There are some things that you treasure. And I know what those things are. They're the things that you keep in the safest place. There are some things in your home that you... there's glasses that you don't care who drinks out of. There are dishes... you don't care who eats out of them. There are books you don't care who reads. But then there's some other things that are guarded. And you keep them in a special place. And you only share them with special individuals. Because those things are what you value. And if you lose the rest of the stuff, it's not so bad. That there's some things that if you lose those things, it will really affect you. Because that's what you keep and what you hold on to. They matter. So many things in life do not matter. Amen. Praise God. You know, I've been fascinated with mountain climbing. I like to read about it, not do it. I do not have the physique for climbing mountains. Amen. If I can pull this up there, you talk about strong. Amen. But I like to read about it. Amen. And I read a book about some people that climbed Mount Everest. Quite an interesting story. But, you know, mountain climbers, they go in teams. It's not really a solo sport. You're supposed to climb with somebody. And you learn as a team. Not only do they climb as a team, but they actually tie ropes and they tie themselves together. And one will get to a certain place, a secure place, and he'll drive that stake and he'll hold on. He's got a secure place to stand, and then he'll help the other one to pull himself up to that level. And then he'll climb on up while the other rests, and he'll do the same, and then he'll pull this one up there. And the thing is if one of them falls, the idea is that the other has a secure place, and he'll hold on until the other can find a place of safety and he can begin to make his way back up again. That's the idea. He keeps his brother. He keeps his fellow climber until he can find stability, get back on his feet, and begin to climb again. One of the saddest things that can happen to a climber is to get into a situation where he has to make a decision, where he has to cut the other one free and let him fall because his own danger, his own future is in danger, or perhaps the other's already suffered death. And he realizes, I can't hold on anymore. There have been occasions where a mountain climber, somebody would slip and they would actually plunge to their death. But they would still be a weight on the one that's trying to climb forward. And he has to make a decision. What am I going to do? Do I perish? Or do I cut myself free? It's a hard decision to make. Amen. Let me tell you something today. And you hear me very well. We're climbing with somebody that has a lot of experience. And if you want to be kept, he'll keep you. If you want to be kept, he'll keep you. And no matter how far you fall, he'll catch you. Amen. Praise God. But one of the sad things is those that just cut themselves free and say, I'm tired climbing. Him and I'm tired of the incline. I'm cutting myself free. I'm not going any further. This is it. I've met my match. I've reached my limit. I'm not going any higher. This is all. Amen. Praise God. I pray today that there's not anybody like that here tonight. You got to keep on, friend. You got to keep on. You got to finish. You got to fight. There's not any stopping places. You can rest. That's what this service is all about. That's why we have churches, so you can rest. Praise God, you get strength. Amen. That's what this is all about. That's what prayer is all about. That's what praise is all about. Amen. Praise God. But you don't quit. You just get new strength. And let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time and for your attention tonight. Amen. Hey, there are some things that you got to fight for. And there are some things that you have to finish. And there are some things that you have to keep. You have to keep. Amen. And if you keep them in their keeping, God will keep you. Praise God. Amen. I read a story, or heard of a story, I guess, about a meeting. And in that meeting, the preacher preached on a similar subject of being faithful and keeping on. In that service, there was a really elderly man. He was like 90 years old. And he stood up, and man, with fire in his eyes, he wobbled down to the front. He turned around with his eyes blazing. He didn't have a tooth in his head. He said, "Brethren!" He said, "I resigned the church and I quit preaching." He said, "But I want you to know." He said, "I'm re-enlisting." That's the kind of spirit I want.
The first pastor that I remember, he's 92 years old now. And he doesn't have the zip that he one time had. He said, but you know what, Johnny? He said, it's still burning on the inside. He said, when I get a chance to preach, I can't preach long. He said, but I give it all I got. That's it. Just give it all you got. Amen. Praise God. Hey, anybody want to re-enlist tonight? Praise God. Maybe you lost a round. That's all right. You can lose sometimes, but you don't lose until you quit. Amen. Get up. Re-enlist. Make up your mind. Amen. Going through some tough times. I've had some difficulties. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to pursue. Going on. How about it tonight? There's an altar here. It's open. Praise God. I need some made-up minds to come down here. I need some people that are willing to fix their heart to come down here tonight and just tell the Lord. Amen. Tell the devil. Tell the world. Tell the flesh. Hey, I'm getting ready to fight again. Amen. I'm getting ready to fight some more. I'm going to finish what I started. I'm going to keep those things that matter and are valuable to me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's it. Come on. Let's make up our minds here tonight. Let's accept the challenge tonight.
Oh, what a change in my
Let's accept the challenge tonight.
Jesus,
oh, I'm too close, Jesus.
Working on the outside.
We come a long way
what
together.
A change in my
I can't quit now.
Jesus,
there's no place.